Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Kamala, what are you so afraid of? The American people are good and kind, even if they don't like your politics. Why don't you get out and talk to them? If you want to be the people's president, you ought to be willing to stand before the people and answer a few tough questions. I don't think that's too much to ask, is it? Now, speaking of, she has got quite the running mate, this guy Tim Walz, who...
He's got a big smile on his face, too.
Tim Walz, I swear, before the end of the campaign, Tim Walz is going to be talking about how he was carrying an M16 through the jungles of Vietnam. But this guy, everything that comes out of his mouth about his military service is at least 25% a lie. And, you know, it occurred to me, the closest Tim Walz has ever come to combat, even though he says he carried a weapon in war, the closest Tim Walz has ever come to combat is when he let rioters burn Minneapolis to the ground a few years ago, right?
Hey, why didn't he give me that line? Come on now, I was with Dom.
He acts like such a tough guy, my friends. I don't know if you saw this, but Tim Walz said that he would debate me anytime, anywhere. So he threw out October 1st, a debate moderated by CBS, which I'm sure is going to be in the tank for the Democrats, but who cares? Because I respect the American people to go before hostile media. But when he says he'll debate anytime, anywhere, he apparently didn't mean in mid-September, because I offered him a debate in front of CNN, not exactly friends of me and Donald Trump. And you know what Tim Walz said? No thanks. Because they are hiding from the American people. My message to Kamala and Tim Walz, but especially to the American people, is the American people deserve to be led by somebody who is willing to get out there and talk to people. Kamala and Tim, stop hiding in the basement. Get out there and campaign. We'd all appreciate it quite a bit.
All right, that's J.D. Vance, who was on the show earlier today at the Desorb Systems in North Philly on Indiana Avenue. It sounded like a pretty good crowd there. Of Republicans in North Philly over there. Wow. Yeah, you know. Now, if it were Trump and we had him on going to a waste management part, we'd have had a lot of fun with that guy sitting back on the table, yeah, playing some cards. Well, waste management?
Yeah, what? A little local pandering from J.D. here.
You ready? Yeah. Business
leaders, but before we do, I'd like to answer some questions from primarily local Philadelphia Press.
I like that, actually.
We've got to get out of here and go get a cheesesteak.
That's the pan.
We are in Philly.
But come on.
Any recommendations? Okay. All right. Okay.
That's how you start a fight in Philly. If you ask for recommendations for best cheesesteak. Yeah.
But let me ask the local media here. If you're from the local media, raise your hand first. And then I'd like to answer a few of your questions.
I really like
time
that.
Afterwards,
cool.
We'll get the national folks. It's very bright, so it's hard to see.
What's the inquired twerp
in a black
ass,
shirt?
Yeah.
Yes. Here we go.
Rosemary Connors from NBC Philadelphia.
Yeah. Oh, they got a mic.
What's your message to Pennsylvania voters on abortion? Has your opinion changed? Do you think there should be a national... or should it be left up to the state?
Oh, this is great.
Look, my... It's okay. It's all right. It's all right. Look, first of all, I think it's important to be honest about what Donald Trump and I are focused on here. And what Donald Trump and I are focused on is making the American dream affordable again for Pennsylvania families. That is what we're focused on.
New Gingrich approach.
Yeah. Now he's going to answer.
Look, on the abortion question in particular, what President Trump has said has been very direct. And I think I honestly... Has he's tried to find some common ground in this country that has been divided by this question for 50 years. He said, look, Pennsylvania is going to want to have a different abortion policy from Ohio, which is going to want to have a different policy from California. Let the states decide. Let the people in those states decide. And I think it's important to point out just how different Donald Trump's common sense approach is from our opposition. Because these guys are talking about taxpayer-funded abortions up until the moment of birth. That is sick stuff. Whether you're pro-choice or pro-life, I think we can all agree that we do not need to have American taxpayers paying for abortion at 33 weeks of pregnancy. It's just, it's gross.
I think he's listening to you now.
And the final point that I'd say on this is President Trump and I believe very, very deeply that we want Americans to feel like they can afford to have families again. The biggest problem that we have in this country, you talk
to young women. All right, Dan, we'll let you monitor. If the Inquirer asked, inflammatory question, we'll go to it. But
I love the crowd reaction when she goes to an abortion.
Up there in North Philly, it sounds like a vigorous Republican Party in Philadelphia today. All right, I was mentioning Josh Shapiro, then I'm going to come to your call. So Shapiro is much in demand in Chicago. And in the aftermath of Walz being selected, he the Inquirer said, this whirlwind campaign in Chicago. Donald Trump is completely full of it. He's trying to use me and he's trying to use other Jews to divide America further. We've seen this with Trump.
Inquirer questions there.
Oh, here, the Inquirer question?
It's not as inflammatory as you'd expect, though.
Reporters first, ma'am.
Hi there, Aaliyah Schneider, the Philly Inquirer. How often can we expect you to be in Pennsylvania, and where are you getting your cheesesteak and why?
That sounds like a trap to me, Dan.
I'm going to be in Pennsylvania as much as you find people.
On the Dom Tier Dano show. Right? Come on. Throw that in there.
Pennsylvania is an incredibly important state to me and President Trump. It is a state with a proud energy tradition, a proud manufacturing tradition. We believe that if we make more stuff in America, Pennsylvania workers and Pennsylvania families are going to benefit. So we're going to be here a lot, taking our message to the whole state, because who wants to make more stuff in the United States of America? Who wants to build more factories in the United States of America? Who wants to rely on American workers and not on Chinese workers right here in the state of Pennsylvania? This is a very, very important state for us.
All right, that's J.D. Vance. All right, so the Inquirer asked in cheesecake. That's not too bad. So Josh Shapiro, much in demand, and he said today in Chicago he wasn't going to be lectured by Donald Trump. Anti-Semitism played absolutely no role in my dialogue with the vice president. Absolutely not. Now, Josh. No one is saying, she was saying, I'm an anti-Semite, Josh. I don't know if I can have you on the ticket as somebody who's Jewish. So we're supposed to believe that this played no role on this. Our buddy, Linda Stein, where I write over the Delaware Valley Journal, has a question for J.D. Vance.
Right as to what you were just talking about. Though.
Ladies right here.
J.D., Linda Stein, Delaware Valley Journal.
Dom Giordano's paper.
What is your position and President Trump's position on Israel and the Gaza war?
Yes. Well, look, our position is pretty simple. It's that the best thing for Israel and the best thing for the United States is for this war to be over as quickly as possible and for Hamas to be destroyed in the process. And
Some booze here, right?
Some
Linda,
blues,
what,
yeah.
What I
who's
don't understand
booing?
Is you have Kamala Harris who says that she's really concerned about civilian casualties. Well, I'm very concerned about civilian casualties, too. But if you're concerned about civilian casualties, you want the war to be over as quickly as possible, and you want to destroy Hamas's ability to fight. She's pursuing policies that are doing exactly the opposite, prolonging the war as long as possible and not allowing Israel to finish the job against Hamas. It's the worst of all possible worlds. Donald Trump is going to return strength to the American foreign policy scene.
We got the point. Thank you, Linda. Great question for him. So Josh Shapiro today says that this it had nothing to do with anything. I think Kamala Harris made a great pick for the job, was very clear about what she wanted. Tim fits that very well. Well, what is it? Does anybody ask the guy at follow-up? What is that exactly? Of course it did. There are 100,000 of this mob out there. They are massing on college campuses as we speak. Yesterday, Rutgers, the big state university, costs a lot to go there. Jersey, right? They shut down new student orientation coming there. It's not going away what happened last year. You heard what I asked J.D. Vance, and he said it too. These are garbage heaps they set up, et cetera. They should be made to take them down. What are we going to do about it? How much money do we have to take away from them? So the idea that Josh Shapiro was not chosen as the VP, that anti-Semitism, anti-Israel didn't have something to do with that, of course it did. And if he'd come on, we'd talk about it. The evidence is overwhelming here. Just look at what it is like. I mean, they're calling her Killa Kamala, Genocide Joe. And the Hamas group will be allowed, due to the mayor, to picket or to demonstrate right in front of the convention center. The others will not. 100,000, 125 anti-Israel organizations putting this together. They're frothing at this. There is no doubt. And this is after October 7th. Now, is that the sole reason Josh Shapiro wasn't chosen? Probably not. Probably they thought, you know, this guy will upstage her. He's better. He is. Now, I'm thankful because I think he would have taken him a long shot to win Pennsylvania versus Walls, who's going to do nothing here. But the idea that they're not crawling with this is ridiculous. And what Shapiro's doing is trying to assuage Jewish members of the kidding themselves, in my view, that they're not in a party. How can you have a party with Omar and Tlaib and all these others and all these groups? Last night, they had the welcoming party for delegates. They crashed the stage on that. That's why Chicago's boarded up, other than the usual Democrat gangs that are in town. Didn't see that in Milwaukee. Of course it has something to do with that. Of course it's different. Any rational person would tell you that. But they're not going to say that because it cuts against the Democrat Party. If this were a Republican, there'd be big trouble on this. All right, so watch for more on Shapiro on this, but he is still in demand there. He would have been the better choice. He would have made it difficult to win Pennsylvania. The result is good, but they're not getting away with the cause of it. They can't, and you're going to see that play out over the next 3 or 4 days. All right, I'm coming to you. Hit us initials today in honor of J.D. Vance. I think he's found his voice here, and I think Walls helped to do it. The way he went after Walls and the military thing is very, very appropriate, and he's over the, you know, the stuff that happened in the beginning of the campaign that maybe wasn't as good. John Cole, our buddy, producer, protege. I don't know if he's a protege, Dan.
He was one of your producers for a while.
Right? Yeah, it's true. Here's John Cole. I guess Politics PA is who he's with now, asking Vance a question.
PA?
John Cole, Pennsylvania Capital Star, based in Philadelphia. As you talk about the economy, what does the Trump-Vance ticket believe the federal minimum wage should be if Trump gets a second term? Would he support raising it, or should it stay the same? And is there a specific number that he would support it at?
Well, look, President Trump believes very strongly that the best way to promote raising Americans' wages is with tight labor markets. When an employer has
got
to pay a good wage to attract the right people, and you know the way that you destroy, whether you have a higher minimum wage or a lower minimum wage, the way to destroy the wages of American workers is to import 20 million illegal aliens and let them stay here with work visas.
Really proven himself.
Yeah.
You know, Kamala Harris's
nice
entire economic approach is to pursue policies that destroy the wages of workers, that raise the cost of goods, and then to say, well, don't remember that I've been vice president for 1,300 days, but when I get out there somehow, I'm going to wave my magic wand and fix all the problems that I caused. Nobody believes that Kamala Harris can do that. And why do we have? I'll tell you, you know, y'all may not pay as close attention to this as I do, but when you look at, there's this chart out there, and it tracks the wages of American workers against the size of government and corporate profits. And what was happening is that for a very long time, corporate profits were doing just fine, and government was getting bigger and bigger. But you know who was really struggling? The wages of American workers.
Good point.
And then there's this
good
thing
point.
That happens.
All right. Thanks, Dan. So some of our favorites there. Bottom line is, yeah, if you have 20 million people here illegally, keep on bringing on other workers under the table. This is where the fraudulent unions don't do enough. They don't want to make that point. As long as they're getting theirs through the Democratic Party, they're not going to say much about illegal immigration. We've seen this again and again and again. Nice pivot on that, though. Yeah, so rather than federal minimum wages and all the rest of it, wages will go up if you don't have people that are undercutting them. Who's undercutting them? People coming into the country illegally. What do Democrats want to do in these cities? They want them hired. Why? They're here illegally. Well, they're causing trouble. Hire them. The bottom line is, he's shrewd enough to know that this had part in it. It's because of the party. Look at the evidence. You know, if he ever comes on, if there's situations like at the debate, Dan, he comes on for one side or another, and I had a chance to ask that, it's only two or three follow-up questions. And just look at the evidence of your party. And it's even more, I know even more about this. It's not so much just his defense of Israel. They don't like it that he spoke up about these god-awful encampments on college campuses. That's what really got them nuts. You know, that woman, Goldie, you can't hide all that, you can't hide stuff. Are we about ready to see this again? You heard the interview with J.D. Vance, and I asked him about it, and he said it's relatively simple. Well, I don't know about that. I think these colleges are going to do it again. Rutgers yesterday had their new students, so I think it's starting this week, orientation and all. They were shut down by these mobs. You have to understand something. It's perverted, their defense of Hamas versus Israel. But it's also their fun, becomes their driving. You know, other people have lives, have other things going on. What is their connection to this? It's not like the Vietnam War or something. They're on the side of evil here. Why? Well, it's the hot thing to do. It's encampments. It's actually fun. It's a driving force to them. And Josh Shapiro not only is pro-Israel, but he did, to some degree, push back on these encampments. So if they do it again at Temple right now, we have arrest warrants issued. They're looking for the people who were urinating on the roof and other things of the Jewish fraternity there. These people are just crazed. And why? They get away with it. They know only so much is going to happen to them. And they know the Democrat Party at heart, significant numbers, are rabidly anti-Semitic, anti-Israel. So how in the world does Josh Shapiro not think that was a consideration? Of course it was. And she was parsing out, too, after interviewing him, he's going to upstage her. She's not that hard to upstage, so she needed a backwoods buffoon who cares about tater tots. You know, one of my top things out of all this...
You don't care about tater tots?
Top things that have gone on, and Dan Rowe, and you know, Rowe usually doesn't get... She can't stand Walls either. I mean, there's
really?
Something off-putting about this guy. He has the opposite effect on me. Even more than Harris, folksy, he's so likable and all. He's annoying at best.
He tries too hard.
Yeah, he does. He really does. Yeah, and just the faces he makes, and he puts one foot in the air like he's when he's coming on stage. It's just too much. Now, in a debate with J.D. Vance on the issues and all that, I think J.D. Vance will take him apart. I don't know how that'll play out with the... people asking questions and all, they think he's folksy. Will it be one of those things? Wow. All right, one more. Joe in Bordentown. Joe on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Joe, what's yours today?
Mine is ELO, the Electric Light Orchestra.
Ooh, I love it.
Yeah, that's a big brand name. That is, when you say that, it definitely, you know who you're talking about. I see a great one, some TV one. Could be real or fictional. That's what we're looking for. 855-839-1210. Let's play that so I don't forget who's this with, Dan, this J.D. Vance cut?
CBS Philadelphia, Dom.
All right, here's CBS Philadelphia from the Indiana Avenue Waste product place with J.D. Vance.
Ma'am, maybe right here in the front.
Nikki Dementri with CBS Philadelphia. Senator Vance, you've been in Philadelphia twice in about 2 weeks. This is a city, though, that is run by the Democratic Party, has been for quite a while. Why do you feel this city is so important for the campaign, and can you win it come November?
I think we absolutely can win it. We're going to win the whole state of Pennsylvania and Philadelphia. Look.
All
I'd ask voters in Philadelphia and across the whole state a very simple question. Has your life been better off under Democrat leadership? Have your communities gotten safer under Democrat leadership? Have your wages kept up with affordability under Democrat leadership? And because the answer is no, I think that Americans, Pennsylvanians, and the citizens of this city are ready for a change. They're ready for the presidency of Donald J. Trump. All righty.
What kind of question do you think you're going to win Philadelphia here, though? I mean, you know, you have limited access. Dan and I in a third party, we're sweating over, can you put this syllable in? No, put that syllable in with J.D. Vance when we had 10 minutes with him today. I think Roe had questions. She never does suggestions. Oh, ask him about this. Oh.
Does Roe like Vance?
She's okay. It's Walls that sets her off, though, more than others. It's more antagonism that way.
What are her thoughts on Kamala?
I think they're not positive, but Walls is like a tinderbox.
I feel like Maisie thinks that Kamala is very disingenuous for some reason.
Oh, yeah. Well, over the weekend, she told a high school football team, you'll be undefeated if you just try. That was one thing. Dan, we have that other cut, too, over the weekend, where Vice President Harris, we had once she was with reporters.
The one where she was just ranting about democracy?
Yes. Here's the thing about democracy. They let her go off script. 10 seconds in, they know it's a mistake. This was at a truck stop. This may have been at the Primani place, the sandwich place. Here is Vice President Harris telling us what democracy is.
Our election is about understanding the importance of this beautiful country of ours in terms of what we stand for around the globe as a democracy. As a democracy, we know there's a duality to the nature of democracy. On the one hand, incredible strength when it is intact. What it does for its people to protect and defend their rights, their liberty, and their freedom. Incredibly strong and incredibly fragile.
Oh, my God. The words out. This wasn't even to a question. She just wanted to talk at a truck stop about democracy being fragile. And that's what she came up with. I don't think they wrote that out. No one could write that out. The all-timer to me is when she was with the kids and she did the Venn diagrams and she talked about what they'll be seeing in space and all.
Yeah.
And even though those kids were probably, you know, Democrat Party youth already, they were having trouble with it.
Like every time she goes off script, she's like a comedy film where the hero has to make a speech at graduation or something and just has to wing it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so, I don't know what it is. It's so
well, in the middle insincere. Of what she thinks is a good idea, it's that too. In the middle of what she thinks is a good idea, she just runs out of a thought, so she keeps on repeating it and then abruptly ending. Consensus over the weekend, after all this rollout on price fixing by Vice President Harris, pretty damaging. It's already up in commercials in which she talks about the fact that, here's the price gauging and how bread is still 50%. Here's what she said on Friday in North Carolina, cut three.
We all know that prices went up during the pandemic when the supply chains shut down and failed. But our supply chains have now improved. And prices are still too high. So believe me, as president, I will go after the bad actors. And I will work to pass the first ever federal ban on price gauging on food.
Oh!
Price gauging? The heck is that? So, the explanation over the weekend is her heart's in the right place. She just wants fairness. These companies are charging too much, etc. Again, in a debate, whether it's Trump or J.D. Vance, you have to press the moderators and press the opponent. Give us a specific here. When are these things triggered? What's too high? Who's determining that? And the smarter ones say we've already done that in the States. They haven't really, not on the vast manner that we're talking about. By the way, the former chief of staff, Ron Klain, who's a real insider for Joe Biden, over the weekend they were talking about Harris with the New York Times, and Klain said that we were all united behind the idea that she should be successful. We just didn't find the path to do it. Indicating she didn't do anything as vice president. I mean, just one example. It was buried in the New York Times, but that's how they still feel about it. And I'm looking at the well, it's going to be, say, next week, early next week, we'll know if there is only a minor bounce from this convention or no bounce at all. That's indicative of what most people think, that she's plateaued. And now it's a question, can she maintain that? Or is this going to incrementally go down? And that's the reason why they didn't think she was capable of beating Trump. And it's a big if. All Trump has to do is stick to the script, look at the material that's there. I realize, though, that is a monumental challenge. So I was going to ask this, Dan. Can we all agree, at least, or do you still have to say this insanity? Well, Dom, Trump is playing chess, not checkers. In other words, you think all these things that Trump does make sense. When he sticks to the policies, adds a little bit of humor in there, not saying stuff that's tangential, and it lets him get a news cycle. Of course, that's fine. But getting into these other things just plays into their hands, helps to run out the clock. Make the case, the economy right now, inflation, is huge, and she's actually given you something to work with right here. And continue to make that point. Don't get bored with it. I mean, it's only 75, 78 days, whatever it is, to stick to that message. And she's very beatable. No matter what happens between now and then, extremely beatable. But if you keep on allowing controversy after controversy to run out the clock, for example, I see no sense, and you have to face it. And I don't agree with it. I'll tell you when I don't agree with it. Otherwise, then you have no credibility. And President Trump, apparently again, was it yesterday, talking about, well, it's better to get the civilian medal because you don't die or get shot in that. Why go down this path? You know, why defend this? Can we all agree? Well, I don't want, then don't take a position. Go off somewhere. I take positions. The Congressional Medal of Honor is the most cherished of all honors. That's my, can you challenge that? Dan, can you tell me there's anything big? The Oscar, the MVP.
Purple Heart.
The Congressional, well, that's a lower form of it. The Congressional Medal of Honor.
Yeah, you're right.
To be, you don't win it. You are accorded it. That is it. What could be a higher honor for that civilian medal, whatever it's called? No. Hollywood people get that. Congressional Medal of Honor are for true heroes. There's nothing higher than that. All right, Robert and Ben Salem's in on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Robert, afternoon.
Hey, Dom, Dan, it's good to talk to you guys.
Say here,
Dom,
Robert.
I really appreciate you, that guy that you had on Friday, because he pointed out something, and I checked it out. The production price index went up 16.1%. The consumer price index went up 17.3%. That's not price gouging. If the production price index had gone up like 10%
right,
and we went up 18%, that's price gouging. But if you want to know what price gouging looks like, go to a Phillies game. Okay, I went to a Phillies game Saturday night with two of my sons and my grandson. We had a perfect time. Walk-off win, very exciting. He loved it. I was, I'll never forget it. But I went to get two bottles of 20-ounce soda, two 20-ounce bottles of soda, $15.10, Dom. That's price gouging. I don't know how them people at Aramark sleep at night. $15 for two 20-ounce bottles of soda. Are they going to say anything about that? Of course not. They're going to go after Wheat Thins or whatever. But it's just ridiculous that they're lying about this, and I'm convinced.
Well, wait a minute, Dan. Let me hold this up. Dan, look what I brought into Robert's point today that I was munching on. I got my Wheat Thins box. Did he happen to see that in the background?
Something else. Look at that.
There you go. Don't mess around with the Wheat Thins. You're right.
Or in your case, blueberries. You know what I'm saying?
grapes too.
That guy who told you to ration your blueberries, I still remember that call. I thought that was hilarious. But at any rate, my answer to the side question is W.E.B. Du Bois did a lot of work with Lincoln and fixing our problems. And for my fellow listeners who are wondering, W.E.B. stood for William Edward Burghardt. Not sure where that Burghardt came from, but it was William Edward Burghardt Du Bois. And so that's my little fun fact for today. But you guys have a wonderful afternoon.
Thank you, Robert. Boy, is there anybody better? Oh, my goodness, Stan. blueberries, yeah. All right. 855-8-3-N. Well, I mentioned.
Was that Paul in Westchester?
Yeah. Pritzker is the governor of Illinois who brought the convention here, is the grand marshal of it, is the Hyatt heir. He's a billionaire. He was going off on, we need these price controls. What about Hyatt? Dan said they're charging $80 versus the hotel across the street. That sounds like they need to have a readjustment. Maybe Kamala Harris will look at it and say, his pillows are not that cushy. Deduct $20 a night. Who's going to determine this stuff? So the argument is, she's just saying it in general. No, she's not. If she were saying something in general about equity, that's one thing.
Surprise guest, Mike Opelka.
Oh, Mike Opelka.
Mike, how we doing? How's York?
It's crowded. I think the population of York doubled today with the group that's gathered here. It's not a giant rally. It's an event. So there's only a couple hundred people allowed in, but there's more press than people. And that's because it's inside a plant that makes stuff, tubing and things for nuclear missiles and rockets on submarines. It's a really cool operation. Yeah, I'm talking to some of the people at work here.
So, Mike, J.D. Vance, though, doesn't get the plum assignment. He's over at a waste management company and on Indiana Avenue in Philadelphia today.
Well, when you're the top dog, you get this. When you're number two, you get number two.
Hey, Mike, so this golf shot that you're working on, you are shooting straight now, huh? So Dom tells me beforehand that there's a new device that you can, screw onto your driver, and he says maybe Mike is using this little cheater device. Is that true?
Did you screw it on your driver? Mike knows about that. You screw it in, you change the face of your driver.
Well, you can change the face of your driver. I went out and bought new clubs, Dom. And now my fade, which you call a slice, is almost non-existent. And so I'm ready any day, any time, Dom Giordano. And Nick Hale, if you dare to crawl out of your closet and play golf.
What's a closet reference here to Nick Hale? What's a closet going on? All right, so we'll have to set that up again. Last year wasn't less than enough. I don't know. I told Dan I don't know if I could hit it quite like last year. It might be a downturn.
Is there going to be a bet on this game, do you think?
Oh, no.
And where's the handicap sit between you two?
God.
I'm at a 15 right now, 15.2. So that's where I'm sitting.
Just give me five shots a side, then.
Five shots? What am I, Trump?
Have you ever discussed your golf swing with Trump?
No, I haven't. I'm hoping to. I'm hoping to do a home-and-home DuPont and Bedminster. And, Dom, if that happens, you're part of the foursome.
All right. I know Trump could be kind of cutting. Any kind of bad shot might be trouble there,
He's a great golfer.
Yeah.
He is a great golfer. He puts his faults to shame. And he would need to give us 10 shots aside. But I think this is interesting. I just saw Steve Mnuchin walk by. He's got his economic team here that he's going to bring up on stage. Yeah, this is all about the economy and what the Trump economy is going to mean. Very interesting. I saw, and I sent Dan a picture, there was one Kamala silent protester standing across the street staring at everybody wearing her Kamala shirt. I went up and introduced myself. She was quite friendly, just not happy we were here.
Good stuff, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
I'm glad the fade is under control. We'll see you soon, Mike. Thank you.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3 from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Consensus over the weekend after all this rollout on price fixing by Vice President Harris, pretty damaging. It's already up in commercials in which she talks about the fact that, here's the the price gauging and how bread is still 50%. Here's what she said on Friday in North Carolina, cut three.
We all know that prices went up during the pandemic when the supply chains shut down and failed. But our supply chains have now improved. And prices are still too high. So believe me, as president, I will go after the bad actors. And I will work to pass the first ever federal ban on price gauging on food.
Oh!
Price gauging? The heck is that? So, the explanation over the weekend is her heart's in the right place. She just wants fairness. These companies are charging too much, etc. Again, in a debate, whether it's Trump or J.D. Vance, you have to press the moderators and press the opponent. Give us a specific here. When are these things triggered? What's too high? Who's determining that? And the smarter ones say we've already done that in the states. They haven't really, not on the vast manner that we're talking about. By the way, the former chief of staff, Ron Klain, who's a real insider for Joe Biden over the weekend, they were talking about Harris with the New York Times, and Klain said that we were all united behind the idea that she should be successful. We just didn't find the path to do it, indicating she didn't do anything as vice president. I mean, just one example. It was buried in the New York Times, but that's how they still feel about it. And I'm looking at the well, it's going to be, say, next week, early next week, we'll know if there is only a minor bounce from this convention or no bounce at all. That's indicative of what most people think, that she's plateaued. And now it's a question, can she maintain that? Or is this going to incrementally go down? And that's the reason why they didn't think she was capable of beating Trump. And it's a big if. All Trump has to do is stick to the script, look at the material that's there. I realize, though, that is a monumental challenge. So I was going to ask this, Dan. Can we all agree, at least, or do you still have to say this insanity? Well, Dom, Trump is playing chess, not checkers. In other words, you think all these things that Trump does make sense. When he sticks to the policies, adds a little bit of humor in there, not saying stuff that's tangential, and lets him get a news cycle. Of course, that's fine. But getting into these other things just plays into their hands, helps to run out the clock. Make the case, the economy right now, inflation, is huge, and she's actually given you something to work with right here. And continue to make that point. Don't get bored with it. I mean, it's only 75, 78 days, whatever it is, to stick to that message. And she's very beatable. No matter what happens between now and then, extremely beatable. But if you keep on allowing controversy after controversy to run out the clock, for example, I see no sense, and you have to face it. And I don't agree with it. I'll tell you when I don't agree with it. Otherwise, then you have no credibility. When President Trump, apparently again, was it yesterday, talking about, well, it's better to get the civilian medal because you don't die or get shot in that. Why go down this path? You know, why defend this? Can we all agree? Well, I don't want, then don't take a position. Go off somewhere. I take positions. The Congressional Medal of Honor is the most cherished of all honors. That's my, can you challenge that? Dan, can you tell me there's anything big? The Oscar, the MVP.
Purple Heart.
The Congressional, well, that's a lower form of it. The Congressional Medal of Honor.
Yeah, you're right.
To be, you don't win it, you are accorded it. That is it. What could be a honor, higher honor for that civilian medal, whatever it's called? No. Hollywood people get that. Congressional Medal of Honor are for true heroes. There's nothing higher than that. All right, Robert and Ben Salem's in on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Robert, afternoon.
Hey, Dom, Dan, it's good to talk to you guys.
Say here, Robert.
I really appreciate
I really appreciate you, that guy that you had on Friday, because he pointed out something, and I checked it out. The production price index went up 16.1%. The consumer price index went up 17.3%. That's not price gouging. If the production price index had gone up like 10% and we went up 18%, that's price gouging. But if you want to know what price gouging looks like, go to a Phillies game, okay? I went to a Phillies game Saturday night with two of my sons and my grandson. We had a perfect time. Walk-off win, very exciting. He loved it. I was, I'll never forget it. But I went to get two bottles of 20-ounce soda, two 20-ounce bottles of soda, $15.10, Dom. That's price gouging. I don't know how them people at Aramark sleep at night. $15 for two 20-ounce bottles of soda. Are they going to say anything about that? Of course not. They're going to go after Wheat Thins or whatever. But it's just ridiculous that they're lying about this, and I'm convinced.
Well, wait a minute, Dan. Let me hold this up. Dan, look what I brought into Robert's point today that I was munching on. I got my Wheat Thins box. Did he happen to see that in the background?
Something else. Look at that.
There you go. That's, don't mess around with the Wheat Thins. You're right.
I'm or in your case, blueberries. You know what I'm saying?
Grapes, grapes too.
That guy who told you to ration your blueberries, I still remember that call. I thought that was hilarious. But at any rate, my answer to the side question is W.E.B. Du Bois did a lot of work with Lincoln and fixing our problems. And for my fellow listeners who are wondering, W.E.B. stood for William Edward Burghardt. Not sure where that Burghardt came from, but it was William Edward Burghardt Du Bois. And so that's my little fun fact for today. But you guys have a wonderful afternoon.
Thank you, Robert. Boy, is there anybody better? Oh, my goodness, Dan. blueberries, yeah. All right. 855-8-3-N. Well, I mentioned.
Was that Paul in Westchester?
Yeah. Pritzker is the governor of Illinois who brought the convention here. He's the grand marshal of it. Is the Hyatt heir. He's a billionaire. He was going off on, we need these price controls. What about Hyatt? Dan said they're charging $80 versus the hotel across the street. That sounds like they need to have a readjustment. Maybe Kamala Harris will look at it and say, those pillows are not that cushy. Deduct $20 a night. Who's going to determine this stuff? So the argument is, well, she's just saying it in general. No, she's not. If she were saying something in general about equity, that's one thing.
Surprise guest, Mike Opelka.
Oh, Mike Opelka.
Mike, how we doing? How's York?
It's crowded. I think the population of York doubled today with the group that's gathered here. It's not a giant rally. It's an event. So there's only a couple hundred people allowed in, but there's more press than people. And that's because it's inside a plant that makes stuff, tubing and things for nuclear missiles and rockets on submarines. It's a really cool operation. Yeah, well, I'm talking to some of the people that work here.
So, Mike, J.D. Vance, though, doesn't get the plum assignment. He's over at a waste management company and on Indiana Avenue in Philadelphia today.
Well, you know, when you're the top dog, you get this. When you're number two, you get number two.
Hey, Mike, so this golf shot that you're working on, you are shooting straight now, huh? So Dom tells me beforehand that there's a new device that you can, screw onto your driver. And he says maybe Mike is using this little cheater device. Is that true?
Did you screw it on your driver? That. Mike knows about that. You screw it in, you change the face of your driver.
Well, you can change the face of your driver. I went out and bought new clubs, Dom. And now my fade, which you call a slice, is almost non-existent. And so I'm ready any day, any time, Dom Giordano. And Nick Kale, if you dare to crawl out of your closet and play golf.
What's a closet reference here to Nick Kale? What's a closet going on? All right, so, yeah, we'll have to set that up again. Last year wasn't less than enough. I don't know. I told Dan I don't know if I could hit it quite like last year. It might be a downturn.
Is there going to be a bet on this game, do you think?
Oh, no.
And where's the handicap sit between you two?
God.
I'm at a 15 right now, 15.2. So that's where I'm sitting.
Just give me five shots a side, then.
Five shots? What am I, Trump?
Have you ever discussed your golf swing with Trump?
No, I haven't. I'm hoping to. I'm hoping to do a home-and-home DuPont and Bedminster. And, Dom, if that happens, you're part of the foursome.
Oh, boy. All right. Yeah, you know, I know Trump could be kind of cutting. Any kind of bad shot might be trouble there, you know?
He's a great golfer.
Yeah.
He is a great golfer. He puts his faults to shame. And he needs to give us 10 shots aside. But I think this is interesting. I just saw Steve Mnuchin walk by. He's got his economic team here that he's going to bring up on stage. Ah. Yeah, this is all about the economy and what the Trump economy is going to mean. Very interesting. I saw, and I sent Dan a picture. There was one Kamala silent protester standing across the street staring at everybody wearing her Kamala shirt. I went up and introduced myself. She was quite friendly, just not happy we were here.
Good stuff, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
I'm glad the fade is under control. We'll see you soon, Mike. Thank you.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3 from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.